Welcome everybody back to Friar Talk. Today we're talking about Dylan Cease again, and we're gonna get into it. Chase, he wasn't here last night. Isaac and I did a live stream. If you have not listened to that, it's about an hour long. We went over a bunch of stuff, talked about Jackson Merrill, but today we want to talk about why Dylan Cease is poised to have a bounce back season, because last year was one of the worst seasons of his career, probably the worst of actually being a full-time starter. And in 2022, he was the runner-up for the Cy Young. So we're going to talk about why we really believe that this trade is going to be an absolute banger for the Padres side. Not to talk about the guys they gave up, because we think those guys are pretty solid too. But just for Dylan Cease, he's going into a spot that is amazing. Now, real quick, before we get into him, want to say we're almost at 3,000 subs. Over half of you are not subscribed. If we get to 3,000 by opening day, not the Korean opening day, I'm talking about the one against the Giants, we'll give a subscriber $100. So keep that in mind right now. If you're watching, you're not subscribed, you're not liking the video, do all that stuff. We don't really ask that. We probably should. It's kind of bad of us not to do, but we're asking that now. But with that said, let's get into Dylan Cease. So I talked about it a lot last night. We kind of brought it up a little bit, like, hey, you know, the White Sox, they're just a bad organization. They're bad defensively, stuff like that. Well, the biggest changes. One, he's going from a bottom five defense to a top five defense. And the thing is, that's a massive thing, because it'll also had him in a spot where he had guys on base all the time. He was really good at getting out of jams and stuff, but he would get stuck in jams all the time. And a lot of times it wasn't even his fault. The other big change, well, two more big changes. Other big change is Ruben Niebla. The Ruben Niebla effect. Last year we saw Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo come in here. They were great. Guess what, guys? Dylan Cease is a lot better pitcher than both of those guys. And they were really good pitchers last season. And the final thing is the Petco Park effect. Now, the White Sox Stadium is ranked, I think it's the most 18th hitter-friendly park. So it's like, it's right in the middle of the pack. Petco is the least hitter-friendly park in the whole sport. It is the best place to be as a pitcher. And, you know, for these reasons, this is a prime spot for him to be able to come in and bounce back. And so I'm pumped for him. I think if you're, forget the Padres for just a second, if you're Dylan Cease right now, you're going, you're telling me I'm going to get all this and I get 2 years of this and then I hit the open market. He's probably pumped. Now we did see what happened with Blake Snell when he left, but I think Blake Snell's a much different situation. Dylan Cease goes long into games. You know, there's a lot of stuff like that, but that's kind of my overall takeaway of why Dylan Cease is in a much better spot this year to bounce back and be a Cy Young caliber pitcher. But Chase, you obviously know a lot, you know a lot more about like pitching mechanics and stuff to me. So when you watch Dylan Cease, like what like stands out where you're like, dude, this guy is going to be an absolute baller for the Padres.
Basically, like when you look at him, he has very repeatable mechanics. The ball flies out of his hand. It doesn't look like it takes a lot of effort. He can go deep into ball games. He spots the ball pretty well with each of his off-speed pitches. He locates his slider well. His knuckle curve usually does not tend to, you know, just float in the air. It actually has the bite to it, and it doesn't really hang. His changeup is kind of his least, you know, formidable offering. It's kind of just a show me pitch to remind you that it's there. It breaks the opposite direction, which is nice. But when you have like a 96, 97 mile per hour fastball and two pitches that break like the slider and the knuckle curve, you basically have a right-handed Blake Snell that locates a little bit better, goes deeper into ball games, doesn't really go through that giant slump where he's walking everybody, has a really rough time getting through the first half of the season. He's kind of just going to be there from day one, kind of, all right, he knows what he's doing. He's going to be great. And plus, it just helps the rotation a lot. I mean, you look at it, Yu's there. You have Joe Musgrove, Dylan Cease, Michael King. And then you're only really worried about the fifth spot. But with the way Johnny Brito's been pitching, it's amazing. And one other thing is, yeah, he's coming to San Diego. The pitch, it's one of the best pitcher-friendly parks in all of the MLB. I think it is technically. I know it's the least favorite for hitters. We've seen a lot of balls just kind of die out there. He's like, oh my God, that was a rocket. It died at the warning track. Like, you're also going to one of the best infields of all of baseball. Outfielder is kind of looking a little more sketch. We still kind of don't know what Profar is supposed to be, the left fielder. though apparently yesterday he went down after hitting a bag and he limped off the field. So we'll see what's going on with that. But and then center field looks like it's going to be Azokar and maybe Merrill. But we'll see how those two hold up in center. Profar has held down left before. He's familiar with the ballpark. I think it's a great fit. 2 years. He's not going to have a lot of hard hit balls. And even if they do, you know, it's in, if when he's in San Diego, they have to move the fences in because the ball just doesn't fly. So that tells you a lot, kind of just being in San Diego. He's not expected to be like an ace. We have two aces. It's Musgrove and you. You's getting a little up there. But he's coming in as, what, two, maybe three starter. I don't think they're going to move Cease in front of him. He's not going to have to, oh my God, I got to carry the team each time I'm out here. He's going to be able to go out and do his own thing. If he struggles a little bit, the bullpen's really deep. He's just kind of landed himself in the perfect little situation. I'm really glad Preller went out and got him. You look at him, his pitches are just nasty. He strikes out a lot. I mean, you pulled up this. Let me pull up the tweet that you had about everything. You had like, what, less than a 3.5 whip or a FIP. He had 200 strikeouts every single season. Dude, he's just a monster on the mound. Most swings and misses generated since 2021. Sub 3.5 whip. At least 185 innings pitched since 2021. Over 210 Ks. I mean, what other pitcher in the league has done that?
Dude, and also, those numbers, that's like his three full seasons. The years before he didn't pitch the full, it wasn't like a full season. Those are the three full years. And he's done it every single time. Last year, he had a bad year. Dude, I want to say his FIP was like a 3.7. It wasn't even that bad. He's playing with an awful defense. He's on an awful team, awful organization. So, dude, I'm there with you. I think it's going to be interesting. I also like that you bring up like the pressure of it because it's different when you're the White Sox and it's like, well, if we lose this one, we're completely screwed. Every time he steps on the mound, you don't feel that the same way. So, yeah, I do. I'm excited. I really like the fit a lot. And I brought up, I said it's a little bit different than Blake Snell. I mean him hitting free agency. Like I think Blake Snell was viewed as like a liability and kind of a question mark, but you brought up like it's a very kind of a right-handed Blake Snell. Dude, he is. And his walk rate isn't good either, Chase. I don't know if you saw that. When he was running up Cy Young,
not Blake Snell's.
It's not Blake Snell's. Well, Blake Snell's is maybe the worst last year, I think. But it's like 15 to 20%. It's not good. Like he's in that bottom quarter of the league. But the thing is, he strikes guys out. He generates so many swing and misses. He strands guys. Now, one of the other big things that he kind of has an issue with, he doesn't have the best ground ball rate. Well, is there a better park to not have the best ground ball rate? No, there's not. This is it. This is the best place where if you're allowing a lot of fly balls, they're going to die, like you said. And Petco was the most pitcher-friendly park last year. I think it was the most pitcher-friendly park the year before, and I believe the year before that as well. And if it wasn't first, it's probably second, because it's every year. It's every year it's like that, besides 2020, because they had the juice balls. So it got real fun that year. But like most of the time, it's been like, dude, I mean, you guys see it. You see hitters come here, and then they struggle. Well, it's the opposite for pitchers. So if you're going to go and get talent, dude, that's why I kind of like, I can buy into the, all right, if we're going to get talent, let's get in the rotation. I can buy into that. Why? Because that's the that's how you win in San Diego. That's going to be how you win. Now, luckily, Fernando and Manny, they can hit it out. They're one of the couple guys that can hit it out. They're not going to struggle with it. But yeah, dude, I mean, I'm pumped. Is there anything else like that you're kind of looking at this trade? You're like, dude, this is sick. Or also, Chase, because we talked about it a bunch, just like where this team's at. We talked about Merrill and stuff a lot. I also do think Merrill will be the center fielder. Like I think he'll be opening day center fielder. Now we'll see if he's there every day. I bet Azucar will play a lot. I bet Merrill will play left sometimes. Maybe they add Tommy Pham. That's still up in the air. But I think in terms of like what this does is this takes the Padres from a team that's kind of on the outside looking into the like being a wild card competitive team before the trade, and now they're in the heat of it with the ability to really like not like. To be like favorited to make a wild card if they make a couple more moves, if they were to do that, because apparently they're still looking into Tommy Pham, and they also are looking into the trade market. And I think the trade market makes a lot more sense. We've talked about Brandon Belt a ton, but you add a couple guys to this lineup and you're like, all right, dude, This rotation is stacked. The bullpen is awesome, super deep. There's tons of pitching depth. If a couple guys go down, it's not the end of the world. And your lineup's not that great, but if it's average, it's going to be able to carry. So what's your overall thought after this trade just for the Padres now?
Like you said, I think we just need like one bat. Really, I want a left-handed starting pitcher. That's just preference. I really don't like having an all-righty rotation. I think you need to mix it up in there. I believe I said Matthew Boyd. Since it's so late, he might be able to sign a Chiefs contract, give him some time with Niebla. He might really do something special. By special, I mean like maybe high three ERA, maybe low fours. But if you're asking him to be like a fifth, sixth starter, that's all you could ask for. I mean, he's a left-handed fifth starter that would eat innings, and he has eaten innings all his career. I think it's fine. And plus, you put him in a pitcher-friendly park, I think he's going to be fine. But realistically, I still want another DH. If we sign Tommy Pham, I really just want him to be a DH. I do not want touching left field. We've seen what he's done in left field and kind of all the mistakes he made, the little jogging mistakes. It's still kind of scarred from that. I'm still a little mad about it too. The whole thing with Ha-Seong Kim, he just had a lot of miscommunication in left where he wasn't, you know, hey, my ball. There was a lot of errors and the little doubles that split the gap. You know, there's more than a handful of times where you're like, oh, they're going to collide because they're not communicating at all. And then Tommy Pham gets upset with whoever else when he's not screaming at the top of his lung, hey, it's mine. So he's a great DH. Like, he walks, he has some power to him. I'd love him as a DH. I just don't want him touching the outfield. But if you had a DH, your team looks a lot more better. You look at it, the Diamondbacks are kind of pushing you to be that second best team in the NL West. The Braves and Phillies are kind of taking over the NL East. So you got the Phillies taking at least one wild card spot. The Brewers kind of sold, so the NL Central is kind of up for grabs. You don't know what the Mets are going to do because the Mets are kind of in the same boat you are. Miami could potentially make a run if Alcantara has a better year and their offense has a better year. You know, they can make a push for it, but you're kind of seated yourself perfectly in the second wild card position. Are you better than the Phillies? Maybe, maybe not. If you go head-to-head a couple times, you know, you're probably going to split a series, or it's going to be like, hey, they take one, we take one series. At the end of the year, like we always say, if you can just kind of ride a hot streak into the postseason, that's the best way to do it. Yeah, you might be comfortably seeded in the first seed, but sometimes if you just sneak in on a hot streak, that's the best way to do it. As long as we make it to the playoffs, I believe in this team, but it's making it there. We saw what happened with the team last year. We had the best pitching in the MLB, and the offense wasn't there, but we also missed Nando for a handful of games. Now that we have everybody back, we've added a few pieces. Let's see what we can do.
Another thing about the playoffs, too. I mean, also the Diamondbacks, I think it's like Diamondbacks, Giants, Cubs. Like, there's a handful of teams, but like it's like, okay, the Padres are right there with a lot of these squads.
I'd take the Padres over the Cubs and the Giants. The Cubs, I had the Cubs winning the division, so it's like, okay, the Cardinals. And I'm just not the biggest believer in the Cardinals this year. I think the Cubs are a better team. I think they take that division. That's why I didn't mention the Cubs.
Yeah, so, I mean, the NL's not that strong. That's the thing. It's not that great. Like, you had a couple, like, real top-end teams, like the Phillies, the Braves, and the Dodgers. But, like, outside of that, it starts getting me like, it's really not a whole lot. And the Diamondbacks, too. I don't want to discredit the Diamondbacks. Dude, we were hyping up the Diamondbacks before last season, and then they obviously went to the World Series. But it's like they got hot at the right time, too. The other thing about this team is, like, now you got the guys for the playoffs by adding this. Like, you have your arms for the playoffs, which I think we saw that in 22, that was a huge difference. You had a couple, I mean, Joe Musgrove, game 3 in New York. Dude, come on. That was absolutely awesome. Like, that was just lights out performance. You get the confidence, you get the little ear flip, you feel the swagger, and they kind of rode that high, and they rode that into the next series. So you have those guys on the mound, it's exciting. And if anyone comments, well, Dylan Cease sucks in the playoffs, he's pitched 2 times, all right? He's pitched 2 times. He has like 6 innings pitched. So I don't care about a two-game sample.
It's like the Mike Trout playoff stat.
It's It's like, yeah, this is what, he has five at-bats?
Like, I think it was four. I think it was less than that.
Dude, it's like, come on, guys, come on. When you get a sample size, like, especially for baseball, it's like, dude, come on. But that's what makes baseball playoffs so crazy, is that it's so much smaller amount than the regular season. But no, I love this move, dude. I think we're kind of on the same page where we were like, this is scary. The Padres need to do something. They need to do something. Boom. We saw it. They did something. So we're pumped. But with that said, I think it's going to call it for today. We'll be going. I think we're going to go live on Sunday. Not 100% on that. But we're going to be kind of setting up a regular schedule here as well. But yeah, remember, hit the plus. If we get to 3K before opening day 28th, I don't know if it's 28th, whatever it is. That I think it's a Thursday against the Giants. We'll give $100 to one of the subs. So make sure you hit the plus, hit the like, do all that stuff, and we'll talk to you all very soon. Have a great rest of your day. Go Padres.